How fun. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just receiving your joy and your gladness that you're giving to us today. We say this is a good day to be in your house. It's a good day to be in your presence. And you, as always, want to give us some good gifts. You want to grace us with some good things in our lives. And we know that that's the kind of Heavenly Father that you are, wanting to just shower us with good gifts. We pray that you would do that. We pray that you would do that for all of our women today, all of our mothers. And God, just help us by your Holy Spirit to receive from the Scriptures and learn and grow and continue to be the follower that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been on a journey here on Sunday mornings with our Mission Possible message series, and today we find ourselves in Acts chapter 3. If you'd like to make your way there, you can. Acts chapter 3. We haven't gotten very far, have we, in Acts? But in our series so far, we've learned that followers of Jesus should seek to be continually filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? We have also seen that part of our mission as followers of Jesus is to have a repentant heart, that we need to be honest about our true spiritual condition and remain soft when the Holy Spirit convicts us about something in our lives. And we always want to remain soft to God and what He wants to speak to us. Last week, we saw how the Holy Spirit moved those first Christians to have an all-in devotion to Jesus and to His church. Today we read in Acts chapter 3 how the Holy Spirit moves Christians into engaging people with the good news of Jesus and with His kingdom power. That not only are we as Christians called to gather, we're called to engage the world in which we live with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus, and with the message of the kingdom. And so we want to look at a familiar account to many in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John. Acts chapter 3. Let's read it together. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And he jumped to his feet, and he began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And we'll stop in the account there of Peter and John and the lame man. Now, this particular account has so many layers of meaning for us today. First of all, here's this grown man whom the scriptures say was crippled from birth. He had never walked a step in his whole life. Think about that for a moment. And because of his condition, any kind of work was difficult, so he was forced to beg for a living. And the scripture says that he was carried daily to the gate called Beautiful, that he might ask for alms or ask for money from those who entered the temple. The fact that he was parked in front of a gate called Beautiful is really kind of a glaring irony, don't you think? Because his life was nothing like beautiful. His life didn't resemble beautiful at all. But yet here he was at this gate called Beautiful. And so this is what he did every day. Day after day, he waited for someone to have compassion on him and throw a few coins his way. It was his means of survival. And worshipers would then take pity on him and toss him a few coins so that he could survive another day. Now, as we're thinking about this story, about this account, I want you to just stop for just a moment and think with me. If this man went anywhere, it was because of a few friends who came to his house, put him on a stretcher, and then carried him to his destination. Every single day, somebody had to go pick him up and carry him and take him to the gate called Beautiful. Every single day. Now, question. I like questions. You maybe don't like them so much, but I like questions. Question. How many people do you know, or how many people do you have in your life who would make that kind of daily commitment to you? How many people do you have in your life who would make that daily commitment to you? Just roll that around in your head for a moment. Now flip it upside down. I want to ask you this question. How willing are you to make a daily commitment of any kind to your friends? Daily, I said, a daily commitment. How willing are you to make any kind of daily commitment to the friends that you have in your life? You know, I read a lot of history, love history, particularly like Lincoln. Lincoln was probably the best president I think we've had in the United States, in my opinion, but others might disagree. But Lincoln said this: the better part of one's life consists of his friendships. I love that quote. The better part of one's life consists of his friendships. And so this man, who'd never walked a day in his life, had a few friends who made this daily commitment to him so that he could subsist, or he could survive, so he could live day to day. Whoever they were, they're amazing people, don't you think? But anyway, back to the lame man. He's brought every day to the same spot to beg. He staked out his spot in at the front of the gate, front of the gate, called Beautiful, much like a homeless man or woman does at the interstate exits. You know that? You ever see them? You pull off the interstate exit, and there they are. They stake themselves out, and you know the drill. You try not to look at them, make eye contact with them, and just kind of look straight ahead, or talk to your spouse or person next to you and look at the floor. Oh, I dropped something. We want to do anything but look at the guy at the end of the exit with the sign who says, "We'll work for food." Does anybody relate to this? Right? Yeah. Yeah. And so here we got this guy. And he's at his spot. He staked out his spot. But listen, God had prepared the scene. God had prepared this moment. Now, how many of you ever been baffled or disturbed when reading the Bible? Right? Yeah? Yeah? This could be one of the accounts where you could just get a little disturbed. And let me tell you why. Jesus had no doubt come to the temple before his crucifixion and seen this beggar. But he never healed the man. He had all power to do so. He had all power to look at the man. He walked by the man. Maybe several times he had walked by the man. But in every case and every time, he walked right by him. Does that kind of just blow your mind a little bit? It's like, what are you doing? It's a perplexing thought to me. I don't know if it is for you. But we need to remember that Jesus only said and did what the Father was doing. He only said what the Father wanted him to say. He only did what the Father wanted him to do. And it was the Father's will, I believe, in this instance, to heal this man by his resurrected son through the apostles or through the church. That's how he wanted this man to be healed. And I think it's we need to be reminded of that the healing is an act of the Father. It's an act of the Father. But I think another good reminder that we need to have when we think about healing, we need to remember that healing originates with God. It's God's prerogative to heal. Amen? Too often we get stuck on the faith side. Right? We blame everything on a lack of faith. We say, well, the person wasn't healed. It must be a lack of faith. You know? And so when we think about healing, I want to leave this with you. It's Jesus who gets to say, this is the way healing will come, and this is the time it will happen. This is the way it will come, and this is the way, and this is the time it will happen. And I think we just need reminded of that sometimes. So Jesus passed by the guy. You know, every day, all these worshipers going to worship at the temple pass by this guy. Hundreds of people pass by this guy. Jesus passed by this guy a few times. Peter and John, in all likelihood, would have walked by this man a few times. Because they were in the habit of worshiping in the temple. I think what we need to do, though, is fit ourselves. We could easily fit ourselves into this narrative. Easily. Because so often we are the people who pass by. We are the people who pass by. We walk right by people. We're too self-absorbed or calloused or both, and we walk right past those who are clearly demonstrating that they have a need. And so often we read scriptures and we remove ourselves from the scriptures. We don't consider that we could have easily been in that situation, in that account. We could have been easily the worshipers who just walked right on by. And so it's good to kind of visualize yourself. Which role would I play? As I read this account, which role would I play? Would I be the friend who made a daily commitment to my friend? Or am I one of those religious worshipers who just walk on by? And so we could easily find ourselves. But everyone passed by. That's my point. But for everyone who passed by, and even for this lame man, they would soon find out, wouldn't they, how different this day is going to be. This was a different day. And the man was lying on the ground. He's doing what he did every day. He's begging for a handout. He was not expecting a healing. He was expecting money. And although Peter and John knew what it was like to have Jesus use them to heal other people. If you remember Jesus, when he was with the disciples, and he gathered 12, but then he gathered evidently 72. He sent them out two by two, didn't he? He sent them out two by two to preach the good news of the kingdom and to heal other people and to heal those that they encountered. And so they went out two by two. Maybe Peter and John got hooked up together. Maybe Jesus said, you know, Peter and John, you're a team, you go out. And so they knew what it was like to minister healing. But I don't believe that they woke up that day and said, hey, let's go to the temple today and find somebody to heal. Not at all. The disciples were acting naturally. They were just doing life. And we know this to be true because it was the custom of every Jew to have three set times during in which they prayed. Three set times during the day in which they went to the temple and they prayed. They went at 9 in the morning, they went at noon, and they went at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Every Jew, every good Jew, went to the temple three times a day to offer their prayers to God and worship Him, worship God. In fact, the psalmist gives testament to this. We see the pattern of this in the Psalms. In Psalm 55, we read this: evening and morning and at noon, I will complain and murmur, and He will hear my voice. Evening and morning and noon, the psalmist says, I'll go to God. In this case, he must have been kind of ticked off at him or something. I'll complain and murmur. Is that a word? Murmur, and He will hear my voice. And so there's this pattern. And they had this pattern ingrained in them. And they went to the temple like they normally did. It was just natural for them to do this. It wasn't as if they said, hey, you know what? It's 3 o'clock. There's somebody there begging. I think I remember him. Let's go heal him. No, not at all. They're just going to pray. So here we have it on a normal day. How many of you just have normal days? Most of our days are normal days, right? Most of our days are like, yeah, get up, go to work. You know, nothing really unusual happens. Same stuff, different day, right? And no, Cass says no. You have a unique situation. Yeah, but we get up and we do it and we go home and we get up and we do it and we go home. I know this to be true for you. And so this is what's happening. On a normal day, in the middle of some natural activity for them, something very supernatural takes place. And I think that's encouraging for us, to me. That's encouraging. It's encouraging because God can break in to our normal routine days and something supernatural can take place in the midst of this normal day. And so Jesus on this day says to Peter and John, today's the day, right? Today's the day the kingdom comes on earth to bring healing to this man. Today's the day. You think it's normal? You just go on the prayer? No, this is a supernatural day today because today is the day. Now's the time for this man to be healed. And that's what happened, wasn't it? You know, Peter and John, they're suddenly prompted by the Holy Spirit to get this man's attention. They're the ones that take the initiative. They're given this supernatural faith, and they speak this word of healing in Jesus' name, and they reach out, and they pull this guy to his feet. And not only does he walk, granted, he's never taken the first step, not only does he walk, he jumps. and he starts dancing. Right? Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk, and then taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Instantly. I love, this is a kingdom story. Really the first one in the age of the church, as you think about it. Didn't happen in service. Happened outside the service. Happened on the way to the service. And God broke in to this man's life and healed him through the obedience and the compassion of Peter and John. Now, as you read Acts, as you read the entire Acts chapter 3, a few things become clear. Peter and John are clear about who healed the man. They know who healed him. Jesus, right? The man was obviously clear about who healed him. Jesus. The crowd was amazed at the miraculous healing, but they pinned the healing on Peter and John, which caused Peter to stand up and give his second sermon. And at one point he says to the religious leaders, he says, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to this man, as you can all see. I like what John Stott says. He's a great scholar and author. He said, the power was Christ's, but the hand was Peter's. The power is Christ, but the hand was Peter's. And when Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ, walk, he was saying the presence and the power and the authority of Jesus are here to heal right now. You see, sometimes we think the phrase in the name of Jesus is a magic formula. But it wasn't a magic formula at all. It's just the simple recognition that salvation and healing come through and in the risen Jesus. That his presence is available. That his power is available today. Not just then, but today. And it's just a powerful story. A powerful story. Now, there are several takeaways that we can make from this account. And I want to share them with you this morning. Keeping in mind that they're in no special order, but rather they're just random principles that I want to share with you. First of all, the first thing that we need to see from this account is Jesus is alive. And he's continuing to intersect people's lives, bringing salvation and hope to people. Jesus is alive and continuing to work. And this was the message of Peter and John. I mean, simply the message was, hey, Jesus is alive. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring wholeness to people. He wants to bring salvation to people. That was the entire message of Peter and of the disciples, the apostles. That was it. Jesus is resurrected, risen. Yeah. So that's the first one. And sometimes we need to be reminded that we don't worship a dead God. We worship a living God. Yeah. Right, that's doing things, working and present and active and desiring things for us and for others. Secondly, the second takeaway that I think we can take away is that Jesus is present by his Spirit in the church. Now, this is a This is a little tougher for us to swallow, but he wants to use his followers. He wants to use you to reach out to people caught in some crippling need and to see them transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to use his church. In fact, that's his plan now. That's his design now, is to use the people in his church. And so, that's a good reminder as well. I think we could take that away from this account that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ has been placed within us, and we can share that power with other people. Three, many have no idea that their need goes beyond material wealth or physical healing. How many believe that to be true? They don't see that their real need is a spiritual need of grave importance. So many people don't see what their real need is. The crippled man felt that his primary need was scraping by each day with a few bucks to eat or pay a bill. That's all he felt his need was. If I can just get by and pay my utility bill, I'm okay. Right? But Peter and John, they knew what he needed was to meet Jesus and to experience his power. And that's what people really need, is to really experience the forgiveness of their sin and to get a new reconciled relationship with God. That's the real need, isn't it? And so very few people understand that their need goes way beyond material wealth or physical healing. It's great when God blesses that way. He often does bless in those ways, but that's not the ultimate need of our lives, is it? Number four takeaway. When you receive a touch from the Lord, it will transform your worship. It will change entirely the way in which you worship Jesus. If you've received a healing or a miracle or a sign or a wonder in your life, you will have a compelling desire to worship Jesus in an uninhibited way. It will change the way in which you worship. And how many have had that experience? Huh? Yes. And so I think that's a good takeaway for us today. Now, here, one of the biggest challenges, here's the next thing. One of the biggest challenges that we can pull from this account is the lame man only wanted to get by. He asked to be carried to the front of the temple where God is worshipped, where God's worshipers are coming for God. He was, in some sense, using God. Think about that. And using God's worshipers to simply get by for the day. He wasn't coming for God at all, was he? He was coming for himself. Now, how often is it that the extent of our prayers goes something like this? Lord, bless my day. That's all I want. Just bless my day. Lord, just bless my day today. And really what we mean by that is, God, prevent any problems or obstacles or stress from coming into my life today. That's what we're saying. We say, Lord, bless my day. So make it go smooth and eliminate all problems from my life. In other words, Lord, bless my day. Just get me through it. Just get me through it. I don't want much, God. Just throw a few coins my way. Right? Huh? Just throw a few coins my direction and let things go well so that I can get through another day. How many of you have had days where your primary goal was simply just to get through it? Okay, we have somebody honest. One, two, okay. Yeah. Yeah, a few on this side too. Yeah. I've had several. God, just let me get by. Just want to get through this. You know, I really believe God would say to us today, I want to do so much more than just throw a few coins in your direction so that you can get by and be happy. I want to do so much more in your life than just throwing a few things your way. You know, Ephesians chapter 3, we know this verse. Many of you know it now. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. Did you hear what that said at the beginning? Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or even imagine. Sometimes we don't have very good imaginations. I'm really guilty of this. I don't have a great imagination. I'll be honest with you. But we need greater imaginations about what God can do for us. What God is willing to do. Because, see, this verse in Ephesians chapter 3, when it says, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that's at work within us, you know, that verse is saying God's not only able, God is willing. God wants to do more than we ask or imagine in our lives. Amen? There's one amen. God wants to do more than we ask or imagine in our lives. And so here's what I think. I believe a good prayer to offer is this. If you want to pray to God, offer this prayer. God, forgive me if I've treated you as another fix in my life to make me happy. If my daily goal and my daily prayer is to just get by, just having things go well in my life, God, I'm sorry. Because you want so much more for me. You want so much more in my life than to just get by. I'm sorry, God. And so we see this lame man. He was just, his primary goal was to just get by. But here's another observation I think that we can make, is that there's this clear contrast between the lame man and Peter and John, isn't there? The lame man's approach is to just get by, and he lived that way for decades, years, every day. But before we get critical of him, though, let's be honest and confess, we too have possibly lived spiritually and emotionally crippled for years ourselves. Huh? So let's not be too critical of this man. Because too often we live spiritually crippled or emotionally crippled or even mentally crippled in some ways. We're not thinking right. And so we have the lame man, but then we have Peter and John, and now they're involved in this journey of following Jesus. They're over here, right? And they have witnessed Jesus in his resurrected state. Talk about pumping you up, right? They believe without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is alive because they spent time with him. They spent 40 days with him after his crucifixion and when he was resurrected. They spent time with him. They know he's alive. They believe that even though he's in heaven right now, that he's still at work on the earth. They believe all that. And they have something much better than happiness. They have purpose. They have fulfillment. Their lives aren't just about catching a few fish and filling themselves up or making a few bucks. They have purpose now. They have fulfillment. They've been called by Jesus to live a life of hope and faith and anticipation. And they believe now that they've been personally sent out by Jesus to represent him and to co-labor with him to transform people's lives. They're actually a co-laborer with Jesus Christ for the kingdom of God. Now that's a big contrast with just trying to get by, isn't it? They believe that they've been called to something much more than that. Instead of just getting by, they're making a difference. They're walking with a new sense of purpose in their life. And these first Christians were walking with this anticipation, hey, of what's around the corner. I mean, not what looms around the corner, right? That's because that's what most of us think, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? I mean, that's for the most of it, we're like, oh God, what's going to happen next? You know. But they had this anticipation of what is God going to do? And as God is working, how's he going to intersect my life with other people? How's he going to work it out and orchestrate that I actually are in a place at a moment where my life intersects with a person just like the lame man who has a need. And they're looking for this. They're anticipating that these things are going to happen. And so there's this contrast, isn't there, between the lame man who can't wait to get home after a day's work. He just can't wait to get home and shut the blinds, turn the tube on, sit in the chair, and hide. But they're looking, Peter and John are looking for opportunities for what God's going to do. One last observation. And then we'll invite the Holy Spirit to come. At first, the lame man might have been disappointed in Peter and John. I think he probably was disappointed. It's like, what do you mean you don't have spare change? Right? Everybody's got spare change. Everybody else is throwing me coins. Why are you throwing me some? Don't you care about me? Don't you see that you could make my life better? What do you mean you don't have a few coins for me? Peter and John weren't interested in just helping the man get by. That wasn't their goal. They wanted to see this guy transformed, transported out of the mess of his life and into a new life. Amen? Here's what I think. More and more, one of the things that's really becoming clearer to me is that much of the world has it all wrong about God and the church. Not only that, we say amen to that. But you know, but many not only that, but the church has it all wrong about God and the church. The church has it wrong about the church. And this is my point. So many people believe it's God's business and the church's business to make people's present lives more bearable. That's the extent of. That's what they think about the church, God and the church, is that they're there. Their purpose is to make my life more bearable. And sometimes we as Christians think that. We just think that the church is there to make my life more bearable. But I shared this illustration before. I want to share it again with you. What if an ER doctor prescribed pain medicine for every person that walked into the emergency room? Right? Like, here's some pain meds for you. Well, will it be able to help? Will it help my broken leg? No, but it'll make things more bearable when you try to walk. Right? We won't fix your leg. We'll just give you some pain medicine. You can try to walk on a broken leg. We'll just take the edge off. Right? That's what, you know. But see, that's the way we relate with God. That's the way that we relate to God. We only want God to make things more bearable for us. and we're quick to settle for less when God wants to surprise us with so much more. And God doesn't want to orchestrate our lives so that we have no worries. Just make things bearable. He wants to lift us up and out of crippling anxiety and into a new life of peace and trust and joy. He doesn't want to just put a Band-Aid on our lives. He wants to give us a new life. So you break your leg, I'll give you a new one. Right? Not just some pain medicine. You know what's coming. Let me ask you a question. What's crippling your life? Fear? Anger? The approval of other people? Having other people like you? Depression? What's crippling your life? Where do you need strengthened by Jesus? Where do you need Jesus to lift you up? Grab a hold of you, lift you up. Where do you need more than just a few coins of blessing? Where do you need new life? Where do you need new life? I think it really comes back around to the question, do we want to just get by? Or do we want to make a difference? Are our days filled with anticipation and faith? Are we looking for the surprising work of God in our lives, in the lives of other people around us? Do we want to just get by, or do we want to see a difference made in our lives and we want to be difference makers? I think it comes down to that. Where is God? What is crippling in your life? What is crippling? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I just invite you to come. Minister to our hearts. If you feel like you need to just make a confession to God today and just say, Lord, I'm sorry that too often you relate to Him only when you need Him to help you make it through life. That's the only time that you really connect with God, is just to help you get through. And you really need to make a confession to God and tell Him you're sorry. I just invite you to stand right where you're at tell God you're sorry. Make a confession to Him. God, I'm so sorry that I just wanted you to get me through and by. Yeah. If you feel that there's an area of your life where you need Jesus to come and strengthen you and lift you up, I'm going to invite you to stand as well. Something in your life is crippling you. Something in your life you need healed. Something in your life you need pulled up and out of. You need to be made to walk right now. You need for Jesus to lift you up. Yeah. Maybe you're here this morning and you've just been skating by in your Christian life and you really want to make a difference in people's lives. And you've lost the adventure of walking with Jesus. What's around the corner? You've lost that adventure. You want to regain that. I just invite you to stand and just invite God to return the adventure of the Christian life to you, that there's this adventurous part to it. If that's you, I just invite you to stand. God, we just pray that you come and you would do more than we ask or imagine. Do more than we ask or imagine today in our lives and in our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our souls. You do more than we ask or imagine. Deliver us, God, from a get-by mentality, an attitude and approach to life. Set us free from that, Lord. Set us off in the direction of an adventure and help us, God, to be a difference maker, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Just continue to minister to people's needs, God, right now. Holy Spirit, come. Move. Move, Lord. Move, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, tell you what, just pray. Those who are praying for people, just continue to pray for people. We're going to go ahead and formally dismiss. We bless you in Jesus' name. Go be a difference maker in His name today. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. So we'll formally dismiss, but those who are praying, just continue to pray as the Lord leads you.